I thank God so much for the privilege he has given me to be in his kingdom.
Yes. Amen.
Don't deserve it,
yes,
but I'm thankful for it.
Yes.
And it is by his grace and mercy why I'm here, and I'm sure why you are all here.
Yes.
And that is why we just keep falling in love with him over and over again.
Yes.
I want to thank God so much for the privilege that I have to speak to you this morning from his word. And I do hope and trust that as I present this message to you, that your hearts will be encouraged. Because this message certainly is one that comes from my heart. And more importantly, coming from the word of God. Please go with me as we seek God's help for the next few minutes in this lesson. Let us pray. Father, you are about to speak to us from your word. Remind me, Father, that I'm just a channel of this message. So as you speak to us, Father, give us attentive hearts, hearts that are willing and ready, Father, to make changes where necessary and to be submissive to you. For, Father, we cannot please you unless we submit our entire lives to you. For those who are among us, Father, who are not members of the greatest institution,
yes, yes,
this world has ever known,
yes,
oh God, I pray that this message will rest upon their hearts and provoke their thoughts into action before it's everlastingly too late. For it's appointed unto man once to die, and after death then comes the judgment. Help us to take advantage of every time, every second, every minute that we have. For one never knows when we will leave this earth. But Father, when we do, Father, help us to leave in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
It is in his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, for those of you who are familiar with that particular chapter of that letter, you'll recognize that Paul has spent quite a bit of time dealing with the various spiritual gifts that the church was blessed with. One of the things that we've often said that is that of all the churches in the Bible, in the New Testament, you know, the Philippian church, the Colossian church, the Ephesian church, you name it, the church that was most blessed was the church that had more problems than any other. The Corinthian church is described as the problem church because it had so many problems going for it. You know, you had a problem of division, some saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Christ. Then you had a problem of one brother living with his father's wife. You have brothers taking brothers to court. You have the abuse of the Lord's Supper. You had the head covering. Then you had confusion in the worship service. And the list goes on and on. Yet still, it was the most blessed congregation when it comes to the spiritual gifts. It is so ironic because you'd have thought that of all the churches, the Philippian church would have been the most blessed with spiritual gifts. But not so. God blessed the problem church with the most spiritual gifts. Not the way how I would have done it, but God doesn't see things as how I see things.
Amen.
Thankfully. But in chapter 12, Paul discusses the various spiritual gifts that were given to the church in Corinth. And he said that all the miraculous gifts that the church was blessed with, all of these miraculous gifts had a very important role to play in the early church. So there was the gift of healing, the gift of interpretation, the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, and you name it. But all of them, every single one of the gifts, played an important role in the life of the early church. Each person had different gifts. Each of them had different gifts, but Paul said, we are all a part of one body. So they may have had different gifts, but he reminded them that even though we are individual members, we make up one body.
Amen.
And it was important for them to understand that though their gifts may differ, they were one body or one church as far as Christ is concerned. But look at this now. Paul wanted them to understand that as important as the spiritual gifts were, there was something far more excellent than the various spiritual gifts. Yes, and that would have been great and serious news to them because they thought that the spiritual gifts were the greatest thing that they could have ever had. But Paul said, I want to tell you of something far more excellent. That is what I want to speak to you on this morning. There is a more excellent way. If you think about it, you will see that when Brother Bell read into chapter 13 and verse 1, that Paul begins to talk about love. And Brother EJ has been leading us in several songs that have to do with love. That Paul wanted his audience to understand that with all the various gifts that they had, what was far more excellent than the gift of interpretation, the gift of knowledge, the gift of wisdom, is love. Amen. And that would have been a shocker to them. Because they were gloating and they were boasting about their various gifts. But Paul says, I'm here to tell you of something far more excellent than the various gifts that you have. Because without love, you take love out of the picture. And it says that gifts that you have, all those gifts, would be empty and meaningless if you have no love. There's something more excellent than having these various gifts this morning, brothers and sisters. And Paul says that excellent way is the way of love. Now, I know you have heard about love many times. It has become a cliche, to the extent that some of you cringe at the very thought of love. Because it has been misused and abused so many times. But Paul says, if you understood love, you'll understand that it is a far more excellent thing to have than all of these various spiritual gifts that the brothers and sisters were enjoying. Firstly, this morning, when it comes to love, in amidst all the spiritual gifts, Paul says, love is greater than tongues. Greater than tongue speaking. Now, that's rather interesting because look at verse 1 of chapter 13. Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Now, let us be clear. Let us be clear about something here. In the early church, as a matter of fact, on the day of Pentecost, we all know the important role that tongues played. People from different nations were gathered in Jerusalem. And to speak in tongues is to speak in another language. Amen. And people needed to hear the gospel in their own language. What can be better than that? Amen. There was no need for any interpreter because the gospel was being preached in different languages, so to speak. So tongues played an important role in the inception of the church on the day of Pentecost. It made possible, according to Acts chapter 2, it made possible the ability for folks to hear the gospel in his own tongue or in his own language. It was tongue speaking also in Acts chapter 10 that was used as evidence to show the Jews that the Gentiles were now a part of God's plan. Because when the Gentiles began to speak in tongues, Peter says, now I know that God is no respecter of persons. Because he saw and heard the Gentiles speaking in tongues. So tongue speaking was important back in the early church. God used it to establish his church. He used it to convince the Jews that the Gentiles are also a part of God's salvation plan. The Corinthian brethren, however, had become convinced that the greatest gift one could ever have is the gift of tongue speaking. They believed that the greatest blessing that one could have ever received is the gift or the blessing of tongue speaking. It was far more important than all the rest as far as the Corinthian brethren were concerned. Those who had the gift of speaking in different languages, they had never learned these languages before. So to speak in tongues is to speak in a language that you never studied before about. Amen. That you were miraculously blessed and endowed and empowered with. Amen. That's tongue speaking. I guess some of you can speak in different languages, but you've had to learn that language. With these folks, God blessed them miraculously so that they could instantaneously speak in another language. However, these folks were blessed. Some folks were blessed with tongue speaking. There were others who envied them because they could speak in tongues. But they believed it was the greatest gift. And Paul had to correct that misconception. Paul says, hey, that is not true. You have it all wrong. Let me tell you of something more excellent than tongue speaking. Because even if you could speak in the language of men and of angels, but you are void of love, have no love at all, Paul says you are wasting your time. I don't think we understand that, brethren. Paul says you take love out of the picture. And God says that you are a big waste in what you're doing. So can you imagine how they were engaging in prolonged tongue speaking? And Paul is saying, you're wasting time. Stop there. Because you have no love whatsoever. Sound would come, but there'd be no music or harmony in God's ears as far as they were concerned. So Paul then says, love is greater than tongue speaking. And all I'm trying to tell you, brethren, is that even though we have heard so much about love, unless we can constantly examine ourselves and check ourselves to see if we truly love the brethren, Paul says we're wasting our time. I want you to know, brethren, that when we're worshiping God, if we walked inside here, but we have no love as we walked inside here, we're wasting time worshiping. Because worship without love is no worship at all. No, I know you may say, brother, so don't worry. I'm fond of the brethren. I'm not talking about being fond of the brethren. Can I turn attention to a particular passage? Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 with me. And we look at verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1 and look at verse 22. And Peter says here, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit in sincere love for the brethren, notice that, sincere love for the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. You know what that word fervently means? It carries the idea of elasticity, that which can stretch beyond its normal length. You know, sometimes to love somebody, you have to go beyond the ordinary. Are you with me? It's not very easy to love them, but Paul says sincere love strives to reach persons even though they are not easy to be loved. Because to love somebody fervently, Paul says, that is indicative of sincere love. But what he's saying here is that you and I can be engaged in activities for God, but we're wasting time. Because we really don't have a sincere love for the brothers and sisters. And to love a brother and sister, or a sister, it means that you have a selfless concern. And then that you have a sincere desire and interest in their well-being. Amen. Think about that. That your brothers and sisters are so loved by you. Even when you have fallen, they don't write you off because they still love you and want to help you. That's sincere love. Amen. Paul says, you take that out of the picture and everything you do is a big waste. Big waste. You see, we can't select who we should love and who we don't want to love. Amen. We can't do that. He says, love one another fervently. John chapter 13. Remember that passage, verse 34 and 35? He says, by this all will know that you are my disciples. Amen. What? How will people know? By our love for one another. When we have love for one another. It's important, brothers and sisters, for us to understand. But secondly, love is greater than understanding. It is greater than knowledge. It is greater than faith. If you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he talks about prophecy, he talks about understanding, he talks about knowledge, and he talks about faith. Now, these are some really important stuff. Look at verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, he says, I am nothing. I didn't say that. He says, I am nothing. Prophecy, brethren, was actually more important than tongue speaking because prophecy was to speak on behalf of God. And that is done today. Did you know that? Prophecy is in existence today. It is just not miraculous prophecy. That when one gets up and prophesy, he's speaking on behalf of God, but not miraculously. So as I preach, I am prophesying because prophecy can be used in two senses. In the miraculous sense, which is what is being discussed here, and in the non-miraculous sense. So prophecy means to speak on behalf of God. Now I know some of you understand prophesy to mean to predict the future. That's one aspect of prophecy. But another aspect is to speak on God's behalf. And when you speak on God's behalf miraculously, that is exactly what Paul is saying here. We don't have that today. What we have is the non-miraculous prophesying of God, of God's word. So here Paul says then, though, he says in verse 2, though I have the gift of prophecy. Now let's stop there for a moment. To speak on behalf of God was far more important than the gift of tongue speaking, because tongue speaking was more limited to a particular hearers. If you prophesy, everybody is edified. Everybody who hears God's message is edified, as you are hearing right now. So he says, based on that, prophecy is far more important than tongue speaking. But he says, as important as prophecy is, if I prophesy, say all the right things, but have not love, he says, I'm nothing. What he's saying here, brethren, which is a warning to everyone who preaches and everyone who teaches, if you teach and you preach, but you really don't love the brethren, you're wasting time. Amen. What a thing to say, Paul. But that is how important love is. All of these are important, but none of these can be compared with love. None can be. Prophesy, to speak on behalf of God. But then look at that list. He says, and understand all mysteries. To understand all mysteries means that we understand, you know, the miraculous gifts. We understand how to grasp God's truth. So sometimes there are some things that are difficult to grasp. It was a miraculous gift back then to be able to understand something and grasp it immediately. Are you with me? I want us to understand that everything that Paul mentions here has to do with miraculous gifts. From chapter 12, he mentions all of them. And now he says, in spite of all the importance of those things, what is most important is love. So understanding, the gift of understanding, was a miraculous gift that was given to the brethren then. They were able to grasp and understand truth just like that because they were blessed with this miraculous gift. Paul says, as important as that is, also, you do that. You have that, but if you don't have love, you might as well give up. Think about it. But look at the list again. He says, there's knowledge. Knowledge is knowing the truth. Knowledge is understanding the truth and how that truth may be applied to our lives. It was a gift given to them. But even so, he says, without love, everything is worthless. Everything we do is worthless. Then look at this one. It's a rather interesting one in that list. In verse 2, he says, and though I have all faith. All faith? I didn't know you can have some faith and few faith and all faith. Well, that's what it says here. Faith here does not have to do with the number of faiths. It has to do with the amount of faith. Because one can have such great faith that he can metaphorically say to this mountain, be moved, and the mountain be moved. Now, I need to explain to you a couple of things here. Back in the Jewish days, they would use the phrase, move mountains, to describe any difficult endeavor. If something was very difficult, they would say, well, you know, it's like moving a mountain. I think we say that to some extent today. And Paul says, though I have all faith that I could say to this mountain, be moved, and it be moved, but have not love, I have nothing. No, all of these, all of us would love to have great faith. But as we strive for great faith, Paul says, you better be sure that you're striving for great love. Because great faith without great love is a big waste. It's a big waste. So, like any businesses, you and I have to stop and constantly check our lives. Do I have any hatred for a brother or a sister? Do I hate some brethren and love some brethren? And as we look at our lives, and if that is so, we have got to make amends and make changes, because I can be denied in my worship if I'm worshiping, but I do not have a sincere love for the brethren. Very important thing. I'm just visualizing how these Corinthian Christians would have sat down in disbelief when they were reading Paul's letter. Really? Because they thought their spiritual gifts were the greatest thing since sliced bread. But Paul is saying, no, Without love, you're wasting your time. This was important for them to understand because in the Corinthian church, there were some brethren that were wealthy. They were wealthy. And they were not too mindful of the less wealthy brethren in the Corinthian church. And Paul had to address that issue. All right, Paul talked about some of you are full and some are hungry, you know, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. There was a disparity. There's a huge difference between the rich and the poor, the haves and the have-nots back in the church then. And Paul says, hey, if you do all these things but you have not love for the brethren, you're wasting your time. Now, which one of us would like to have been in the church for 20, 30, 40, 50 years and only to be told finally that it was a big waste? For half a century, a big waste. But that's what Paul is saying here. That if you go through your life harboring hatred, harboring, you know, that which is against the brethren, discord and division, Paul says it will nullify, it will negate everything that you do as a Christian. It will. There's a more excellent way than having all of these various gifts. So what that tells us then is that if we come and we can sing in the most beautiful tune, melodious, harmonious, you name it, but my singing has no love whatsoever. Can you imagine Paul saying that you have wasted your time? You became hoarse for nothing? That's what Paul is saying. But it's going to lead me to another point, which is just as important. Look at the third point here. Paul says, there's a more excellent way than sacrifice. Love is greater than sacrifice. You see, because we believe that the greatest thing we can do in life is to sacrifice. We say to our kids, you know how much sacrifice I've had to make for you? That's what we say to our kids. I sacrifice for you. And this is what I get in return. You know, we say that every now and again. Paul is saying that even if we make sacrifices, but our sacrifices are made without love, it's a waste. Look at this now. Look at verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing. In other words, hear this, brethren. Giving your goods to the poor and giving your body to be burned, which is a kind of a sacrifice he's talking about here. All of these, he says, will profit you nothing if love is not involved. And in case you did not know, you and I can give to the poor even without love. You can give to the poor because we want to be seen as people who are generous. But deep down, we have no concern for the poor. You know, politicians are like that. Yes. To advance their political career, they'll talk about how the poor needs this and the poor needs that. But deep down, many of them really don't have this sincere love for the poor. If they can do without the poor, they would. But they have to use the poor as a political tool as they advance their thing. Look at what Paul says in Acts 20, verse 35. He says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. We all know that giving is a basic and fundamental practice of Christianity. You cannot be a Christian unless you're willing to give. I'll run that by you again in case it missed you. You cannot be a Christian unless you are in the mood to give. Give of yourself. It may be money, it may be clothes, whatever. Give off your time, give off your loyalty. But you've got to be in a giving mood to be a faithful Christian. That's a simple, basic thing of Christianity.
Amen.
All right? John 3:16, Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. We are the recipient of a giving God.
Amen.
What God wants us now is to turn around and to be willing to give to others. Not just money, not just clothing, but give of ourselves sacrificially to others.
Yes.
Because what giving does, giving demonstrates our love. It does. You know, one man says the most sensitive cord on the human body is the one that connects his heart to his wallet. Have you heard that one before? Yeah. If you want to disperse a crowd, one man says all you need to do is to start to take up a collection and that crowd will disperse. Because people just don't like to give. All right? But we like to receive. We like to receive. But hear this, brethren. I want to share this with you. If love is not the motivation for why we give, you might as well don't bother giving. Remember, every time you and I give, we give up our offering. We give it because we want to please God. But God knows whether or not we're giving out of love. That is why Paul says, if we're giving out of necessity or grudgingly, that God does not accept that giving. If you find that you're giving out of necessity, pull it back. Pull it back. And reassess your motive. Because God says that he loves only a cheerful giver. All right? But then he goes a little further. If we give a gift to somebody, for example, if we give a gift to somebody, and everybody likes to give, to receive a gift. If you're giving a gift to somebody, but you're giving it without love, he says you might as well don't bother giving it to the person. Because everything we do, God sees. Not just sees, but he sees the heart that is behind the giving. You think of Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 5. Remember those two persons? Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. The Bible says that they gave. Remember that they gave. But they only gave what? A part. So obviously they weren't giving out of love because they told Peter and the apostles that, listen, we're giving all. When they were giving just a part. So their heart was filled with deceit. They were giving a part, but giving the impression that they were giving all. What was God's response? They died. God killed them as a result. That should tell you and I that God does not take kindly people who give without love. So when you're giving your clothing, when you're giving your money, when you're giving your time, when you're giving your energy, when you're giving your loyalty, let it be out of love, or else don't bother giving it because you may endanger your spiritual life. That's what he's saying here. There's a more excellent way than sacrifice. Sacrifice is great, yes. But without love, sacrifice means nothing. If we were to give ourselves to be burned, look at what it says here. If I give my body to be burned, which is what you would call the ultimate sacrifice. If you're willing to die for a cause, but you're willing to die for that cause only because you want to be seen. You want folks to talk about you and to give you the accolades. He says, though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, I am nothing. So anybody who wants to talk about love being not too important, I hope this will now cause you to reassess your view of love. Now when you walk inside here, that every single one of the brethren, you and I have to strive to love them. Not just some of them. No, they may not all be what you want, but you are not all what they want also. But we have to keep that in mind. We have got to keep that in mind. Now, sometimes we love to talk about others and we talk less about ourselves. And that is so important for us to understand. But even though we give our bodies to be burned, even for the cause of Christ, without love, all these great sacrifices are meaningless as far as God is concerned. So yes, you think of all the great sacrifices you have made in the church. And some of you have made great sacrifices. For years you have been in the church. 10, 20, 30 years. But if it was done not out of love, but maybe out of a sense of duty, you just want to do it, or a habit, Paul is saying that it was a waste. And I'm telling you, brethren, from this day onward, in going forward, as you pray, ask God to give you a motivation of love. That everything you do will be out of love. Amen. If you're going to correct somebody who's in the wrong, correct them, but correct them out of love. If you're going to speak the truth, speak it, yes, but speak it in love. That's what he's saying. John 15, verse 13, Jesus Christ says, a man who has love gives of himself. Love must be the motivation why we give up ourselves. It must be real. It must not be fake. It must be authentic. Because God knows when we are putting on a show And man is good when it comes to putting on a show. We're very good at that. But what a God he is. He's omniscient, meaning that he knows everything. And he knows what is beneath that veneer. He knows that we're not giving out of love. There's a more excellent way. What I'm challenging us to do then is to love. And then let love lies at the very basis of what you do. Let it be the very motivation for why you do what you do. That when you look at the brethren, look at what Peter says, love one another fervently. That you spend time learning to love the brethren. And you can't love them at a distance. You have to get to know them to love them. Spend time with the brethren. It's one of the reasons why we're having our fellowship today. It's one of the reasons why we have our fellowship every once in a while. Because we want to give you a chance to mingle and to eat and to socialize so that you can get to know something about somebody that you did not know before. Amen. So that it strengthens your love for the brethren. But never be satisfied with a casual acquaintance. There's a song that some of you are familiar with. It's a song, When We Are Sunned Apart. Do you remember that song? When we are sunned apart, it gives us inward pain. Every time we are about to separate, it gives us a kind of pain within. Because we love each other so much that to say goodbye or some other time, it's not a joyful feeling. And I'm saying, brethren, when you get to a point where you find that in not seeing a brother, it doesn't bother you one bit at all, then something is wrong.
Amen.
Something is wrong. Yeah. If sister so-and-so has not been around for a couple of weeks, it ought to bother you.
Amen.
Why? Because you love her or love him. That's sincere love because we are intertwined. That's what Paul says. So there's a more excellent way as I close. More excellent than just coming to worship. If you're worshiping without love, Paul says you're coming to waste time. If you're singing without love, you're singing without any meaning, and you're wasting time. Paul says, even if you're giving, doesn't matter what you give, if it is without love, you might as well don't bother to give. That's what he's saying here. What a wonderful thing it is to know that God is not looking at the external things that we do. There's a more excellent way than the external stuff. And that thing is love. That's what he's saying here. As you go forth from today, we're standing on the side of a new week. Ask God to empower you with true love. So that when somebody is having an issue, you can say to them, listen, I pray for you. And say it genuinely. Don't just give them the kind of default response. May God help you. And that's it. You know, that's a kind of default thing. We try to refrain from that unless the heart is in it. More excellent way. I want to challenge you this morning. Challenge you as you go forth. Strive to love the brethren. Work on here first before you try to master out there. That's what I'm saying. Learn to love your brothers and sisters first before you grasp the idea of loving those on the outside. And if you're here this morning, and maybe this is something that you have looked at and you have struggled with, this is a good time to say, brethren, I want to get to that point where it doesn't matter who the brother is or the sister is, I want to love him and love her without reservation.
Amen.
And if you're one such person, this is a good time to say, brethren, please pray for me. Because dear me, walk through those doors today, not loving the brethren as I should. Because I really don't want to waste my time in the church anymore. So we're going to stand and sing the song of encouragement. If there's somebody here who needs prayers, this is a good time for you to come and say, brethren, please pray for me. Maybe there's somebody here who is not a member of the church and wants to become a member of the body of Jesus Christ. It is a great joy for me to tell you that Jesus Christ came and he died for your sins and mine. That we don't have to pay the consequences of our sins. Because when he died on the cross, he died so that our sins, the debt of our sins would have been paid for. And so our sins can now be forgiven. But only if you're willing to believe in that message, responding to that message in repenting of your sins. Luke 13 and verse 3. confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Acknowledge that he's the Son of God. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. But you must be baptized in water. Because when you're baptized in water, you come in contact spiritually with the blood of Jesus Christ. You do. And there's power in the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ. I don't care what you have done. The blood of Jesus Christ has the power to remit, erase, remove, forgive whatever sins you have committed. Amen. Has that power.
Yes, sir.
But the ball is in your court as we stand and sing that song of encouragement. Amen.